Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 205.
We're currently several months into some very stressful days. There's a global pandemic that bounces from actual illness that needs to be attended to and a political hot potato. We're looking at civil unrest that at times draws attention to injustice, but more often than not, devolves into destruction and riot. Our nation is increasingly divided, causing the civil and political unrest to create tension and division in the church among the people of God. People who should be united around the gospel are now divided over issues that have become more important than they should be in comparison to the gospel. John MacArthur says, churches must meet in order to be a true witness for Christ. Al Mohr says, churches shouldn't meet in order to be a true witness for Christ. So what should we do? Do we meet? Do we not meet? In Romans 8, Paul gives us some insight into the internal work of God in the lives of a Christian, helping us understand how we should live. We're going to take the next few weeks to look at the benefits that we have as Christians by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Are Christians always indwelt by the Holy Spirit? What does this mean for our daily lives, and what does this mean when we are living in times of crisis? We'll discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Turlow. I serve as pastor at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. And with me, as always, when I'm not doing a reading, me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob serves as an elder here at Westminster and is also an MDiv student at RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. Hey, Rob.
Hello.
How's that going, by the way?
It's good. It's good. Yeah, I just got back from a couple weeks of vacation up, you know, and up in Missouri, rural Missouri. Very rural. I hung out with horses, and which I love, actually, and a lot of chickens and goats. There was a whole flock of goats chasing me at one point.
Really?
I'm under the impression that nature's out to kill me.
Were you running?
No, actually, I wasn't running, but they were following me. My cousin's flock of goats. She is it's actually Melody's cousin's daughter, who is named Mackenzie.
Okay,
by the way, which is fantastic.
Mackenzie.
Yes, Mackenzie.
No, should have said Mackenzie is the last name. Yeah.
So Mackenzie is a very, very good with animals, and she raises all these goats. She wins prizes for her goats. So we got to see her flock of goats, and they were following you because they thought you were going to give them food.
Is that what goats are called, flocks?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm calling them flocks of goats.
Flocks of goats.
There was about 28 of them.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I would have thought a herd or something like that, but you know how there's
I've
like
heard
a
of goats.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to tell you about them. There were cows as well. Yeah.
I was actually asking how RTS was going.
Oh, well.
Didn't you go do something for the summer at all, or no?
I didn't go. We did it virtually.
Oh, that's right.
Online.
That's right. You can't go anywhere.
I've done three classes this summer, two I'm finished with. I'm currently in what may be my last class, and in baptism. So, I thought maybe I'd learn about baptism.
The whole class is on baptism?
The whole class.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's like more general, like sacraments
it's an elective,
or something.
You know, okay. One thing that this pandemic has done and forced us all to stay home and do online classes is actually we were able to choose from more classes than we normally would have because they're doing everything online. I needed some electives and then I shouldn't say we were open to everything because you still had to fall into a time slot.
Of course. Yeah.
But baptism, really interesting. A lot of the history of baptism.
Sure.
Of course, the majority of us in there are paid, although we do have some very friendly Reformed Baptists that are in there, and
Or at least they're friendly.
Yeah, at least they're friendly. But it's been some really good discussions. Yeah. I've definitely learned some things about the cultural setting of Jewish understanding of baptism and what they would have seen pre-Christ and then post-Christ, how they would have viewed baptism. We see John baptizing before Christian baptism comes into play. But it was very interesting. RTS, I know that they're opening their campuses, but they're also still offering virtual. So I think some of the students, one of the students that's in the class is actually at a campus, but because he only has a couple of classes left, he's even though he's there, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to do them online because it's just easier than driving over to campus.
Okay.
That works.
Yeah. And Orlando's, Florida, nice. You can go out and you can do class from a beach and you're...
You can. It's just watch out for alligators and you're fine.
Yeah. And other people.
Well, that's anywhere. That's my motto through life, actually. Yeah, it's to watch out for other people.
So what do we got going today?
Well, you were... Before we get to that, what about you?
What about me?
You were just also on vacation.
I was on vacation for a couple of weeks. I was down in Texas. So came back to a recommended quarantine here in...
Recommended
quarantine for 14 days, yeah. So was a lot more careful with interacting with people. Just kept my distance. Had a cautionary wristband now.
Hence the caution tape across your desk right now that I'm not...
Yes, you cannot cross it. The quarantine's over. The recommended days. It's been over 14 days now.
So your choice of quarantining me right now is just personal.
Yes. Yes, okay. Definitely. Because you've been to Missouri. No.
That's right, because I was hanging out with the goats.
No. Yeah, Texas was really fun. Got to see family and good friends and enjoyed worshiping in two different OP congregations as well, one in Fort Worth and one in Garland. So I was up in the Dallas area only, didn't really go much further south than Dallas. But east and west sides of Dallas is where we visit. I have family on the west side and good friends on the east side of Dallas. Yeah, so nice. Good. Real fun.
Yeah, I thought actually, just because the pandemic is continuing and civil unrest is continuing, I thought maybe we talk about life as a Christian with the influence of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and what that means for us in any time, not just for now. But I know that like I pointed out in my opening, you have conservative Christian leader John MacArthur keeping his church open and being very vocal about this is where the people of God need to be. And then you have conservative church leader Al Mohr saying, no, we should be shut down as a witness for Christ. And so we have people who normally would agree on just about everything when it comes, especially politically, but not necessarily the Al Mohr was a Reformed Baptist, John MacArthur's dispensational. I'm not talking about that, but just on a lot of issues they would agree. And yet here are some very contentious issues within the church, that whether or not to be open, should we, are we violating the civil ordinances if we have church? Are we violating our obedience to God if we don't go to church? Mm-hmm. Is virtual church real church? Those kinds of things. We thought we'd kind of gotten past them when everything started to open up, but things are shutting down a little more. And even within the opening up, especially we know in Illinois that things have opened up, but it's not really what we'd say is open.
Well, it's not fully open, certainly, right? There's still restrictions. For us, like in Illinois, our context is no more than 25% of capacity in buildings or worship halls or churches and such. That's the language we're using. And so we're at no more than 50 persons. And so we moved to two worship services in order to accommodate a total of at least 100 people and, in two different services. And that's been, I think, helpful for us to be able to gather and assemble and begin sacraments again, which is what we've done, thankfully, in that assembly and in the church we rent from, the building we rent from. But other places have been much more strict, especially California, where MacArthur is, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have that. And what I've seen in California, at least, is from other Reformed and Presbyterian brothers, is going to outdoor worship. Mm-hmm. That's primarily what I've seen happening to people going to backyards, putting mm-hmm. tents up. And so fully honoring God and obeying the state at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there's ways that people are becoming more and more kind of ingenious in how they do it. But I still think without violating their conscience or mm-hmm. their scriptures or the civil ordinances. You know, MacArthur put out a good statement. A lot of people appreciated it. A lot of people yep. agreed with it. There were also thought he was a little too showy with it. There are people who thought it was...
Well, that's John MacArthur.
Yeah, okay. other people thought it was, you know, binding consciences of people who disagreed in a way that was right. unnecessary. So you're going to have disagreement on these things because the Bible doesn't give us the clarity right. That we would want to make a decision. There's right. there's wisdom involved, and in that regard, there's wisdom involved because we have different layers of government, which makes things even more complicated.
Right.
In our understanding of how do we obey, you know, the lower magistrate. We typically think of it three layers, right? We got local, state, and federal.
Right.
So, and sometimes they differ. And who do I listen to? And so it takes wisdom, it takes patience as well in working through these things of how we best respond to them. And sometimes we don't get it right the first time. And I think we need to, I personally think we need to show a great deal of deferment and love to people who are trying to work it out in a good, solid way, biblical way. So anyway.
Yeah, well, I think that when it's wrong when we don't try to accommodate obedience to civil government and obedience to God. Mm-hmm. If we're not struggling with that, that's when it's wrong. When it's, well, I'm just going to do one or the other and not care mm-hmm. about the other.
Unless it's a blatant thing, right? I mean, a black and white thing.
Right.
What you're talking in the context now.
In the context yeah. that we're yeah.
Thank
in
you.
Now. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just to be clear.
Right. If the government comes and says you're not allowed to worship ever because
right.
Caesar's the God.
Yeah, yeah.
Then yes. You,
that's
there
an easy one.
Has to be civil disobedience yeah. mm-hmm. in that case. But we've entered into a lot of gray areas. And being in a gray area does take wisdom. It also shows you how... The wisdom of God to have provided leadership within the church, that the leadership can bear the weight. It is supposed to bear the weight, and the congregation can be informative mm-hmm. To the leadership, and a good leadership would want to know what other people are thinking. But at some point, you know, the buck has to stop, and so it's actually a protection to the congregation when the buck stops with the leadership, mm-hmm. and it shows you the weight of burden that a leadership has in order to be able to say, this is what we think biblically we need to do. This is first, biblically is right, and also this is how we're going to be in compliance with the state. And you and I have had many mm-hmm. extra session meetings mm-hmm. because we've had to try and weigh these things.
Yeah, right.
And at times we've had to say, well, we're not exactly sure what we're going to do. Let's wait till Tuesday when we get this, when we watch, you know, one of my tasks when we were meeting with Covenant, we were together. One of my tasks was to watch the governor of Illinois, his press conferences every day. I got to do that because there were certain things I needed mm-hmm. to know. Not something that I really wanted to do, but it was something I had to do mm-hmm. So we could have the information that we needed so we can figure out how we were going to meet the requirements of Scripture and actually be in compliance with the state. And that's not, it wasn't an easy thing to do. It's still, we still are kind of juggling some of that. Mm-hmm. So knowing that we're going through this now, but it will end. More than likely, Lord willing, this will end at some point, but there could be another crisis in 5 years. We don't know
right,
what that's going to be. So for Christians, I think one of the hardest things for us to do and to remember is that we are Christians being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had that, we talked about the kingdom of God. And one of the things we talked about was the fourfold state of man, where at one point mankind is completely depraved and their nature needs to be regenerate. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to us and regenerates us, we then enter a new state mm-hmm. where we are simultaneously sinner and saint. We are mm-hmm. we are being sanctified. We now have the ability to sin, but we also have the ability to do good or to be obedient to God. Mm-hmm. And so for the church, for the people who are in Christ, our worldview is going to be, just by our own nature, very different than those who are outside of Christ. And so we need to remember that when we are trying to figure out what we're going to do in this kind of environment, in this kind of a global pandemic where everybody every day is getting up trying to figure out, okay, what's changed now? Mm-hmm. What are the numbers now? Is this getting better? Is it getting worse? That we're looking at it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But people who are not in Christ are not looking at it that way. And so we shouldn't be surprised when there is greater panic outside of the people of God. And we need to be careful that we aren't looking at people who do not have the help of the Holy Spirit, that are panicking to a degree that we look at and we say, okay, it's not that bad. You shouldn't be that fearful of this, because we're looking at it from a very different way. And mm-hmm. we need to have patience with people, I think.
Well, I think you're right about the patience. I mean, that's a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Right.
To have patience and self-control about these things. And our understanding of God's sovereignty over all of these things is completely different as well. And I think that's a highlight, right, of Reformed thinking as well, is that sovereignty of God that comes out more, in a more robust manner than even other Christian teachings or other Christian traditions, I should say. And so that aspect of the Reformed faith really is rooted within us, the sovereignty of God and his providential care and over all things, even the things that we don't understand and seem to just continue to go on and on, and we don't get what's going on and on. We don't know how God is working through them mm-hmm. to his glory and to right. his people's yeah, benefit and blessing. And I mean, that goes, obviously that goes far beyond pandemic and violence, right?
Right.
That goes to touching upon, you know, the very nature of suffering in the Christian life. And when people get sick and have terminal illnesses, or when people lose jobs and things of that nature, that we fall into those things. We struggle with understanding God's ways and his will and his how we fit in to all that he's trying to do. And we sometimes forget ourselves, and we sometimes forget that we are a new creation mm-hmm. of another world, of a new age, mm-hmm. born from above, using all these terminology right. that is scriptural, that translated from one kingdom to another, that we find ourselves using the wisdom of the world instead of a wisdom that is from another world to understand our situation, to understand life in this world, and that we need to count it a blessing to have been suffering for Christ's sake, not only to believe but to suffer for his sake. That's what Paul says in Philippians 1, that's what we want to get, to be content in all circumstances, mm-hmm. right? That's something that Paul had to learn. It's not something that is necessarily a first response. it would be great if we got there immediately. Right. But if a situation is difficult, Paul's encouragement that in his own life is through that we need to learn to be content in all situations, all circumstances. Right.
And Paul had some pretty severe circumstances.
And Paul did, much more severe than us, than us. But still, we have challenges that we must grow in. And that learning is a sanctification process, right? And which we all want more and more of, that learning contentment, that learning to be content in all those situations is a part of our sanctification, which is the Holy Spirit at work in us, renewing us to put off the old self and to put on the new self, as Paul says in other parts, let's say Colossians in particular, Colossians 3, putting off those old things and then putting on the new. Why? Because you have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, right? If then you have been raised with Christ and seated there, right? Your life is hid with God in Christ. I mean, that's, you know, Colossians 1 or Colossians 3, 1 through 3 or 4. It's just these things are a reality about us, and the application of those things in our lives, finding those things to be a reality in how we live is the challenge, I think, that faces many Christians. And God puts us into trial of various sorts, various levels of intensity, we might say, and import in our lives to work that out in us in order to transform us more and more into the image of his son, to help us to be those who imitate Christ, or as Paul says elsewhere, right, to imitate him as he imitates Christ, right?
Yeah, and sometimes we go through these trials individually where other people see us suffering or struggling and they don't even know how to help us. And like now, we're going through trials together, but all those will affect us differently. Everybody is different. They have different, like you were saying, with the Holy Spirit. There are certain areas within the fruit of the Holy Spirit that are growing within them because God does this through the Holy Spirit for all of us, but we're growing at different degrees. You know, you hear people say, Lord, you know, give me patience and give it to me quickly. Because, you know, that's been my prayer all my life, you know, because patience is something that I've definitely gotten better at. Mm-hmm. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm a much more patient person, but I've gotten to a place from a very bad place. Mm-hmm. I used to be very impatient when it came to things, and now I'm better. But I'm sure there's many people out there that are still much more patient than I am. Mm-hmm. And so Paul here in Romans is telling us what we need, just kind of what you're doing where he does that in Colossians, where he's saying, as a Christian, you need to remember these things about yourself, about what God has done in you, what he's going to continue to do in you, and why it's important. And I think that when we're going through a global crisis as we are, remembering who we are in Christ is probably the most important thing we can do to help us get through any, because this is a very tense situation. It's a very frustrating situation. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It's scary. It's you know, that incessant drip on your head where it just, after a while, you just throw up your hands. I just can't take this anymore kind of situation. And yet, if we remember who we are in Christ and what God is doing in us through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can be comforted through something like this. Why don't you go ahead and read Romans 8 for us?
Yeah, you mentioned Romans a moment ago, and we hadn't brought up what we were going to talk about yet. Romans 8, you want verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That was Romans 8, 1 through 11 in the ESV.
So what does it actually mean to walk by the Spirit? Is this a WWJD moment?
What would Jesus do moment?
What would Jesus do? Yeah.
I didn't know if it was, you know, Jeffrey or, you know.
Yes. Jonah, what would Jonah do?
What would Jonah do? I don't think it's that, no, in the flippant way that has often been used. I think walking by the Spirit is walking in accord with the Spirit, which is walking in accord with the revelation of the Spirit, what we know of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking by the motivations of the Spirit for us, which is his revealed will, which is God's revealed will. It is walking as those who are of the Spirit. We can put this in many different ways, right? The law of God, those who have the law of God written on their hearts and now are desirous of following the law of God in a godly, honoring, holy way, walking in the Spirit. It's walking as those born of another world. Why? Because another world is the world of the Spirit, right? That's where it's like the atmosphere we're going to breathe is the Holy Spirit. He is what indwells us. He is that person who indwells us is what I should say better. And walking according to the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, is walking that powerful, Spirit-filled life that is in accord with God's revelation to us.
Right. I think how this can be practically understood, often we get in a situation and we get frustrated and we think, well, how do I get through this? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you probably know
how
you get through this.
Yeah, we typically do.
Yeah, but and because it's in the Word of God,
yeah,
how we can get through these things.
Or it's, you know, I mean, it's not like everyone responding to a situation, it's a cookie cutter response, right?
Yep.
It might be a very similar response, but if it's something that requires love or kindness or generosity or patience or gentleness, we know that. It doesn't mean that we're going to react that way because we're sinners and we fail at doing what we know we ought to do. And that's why we repent every day. Mm-hmm. And that is why we come to God for forgiveness every day, because we are not going to respond the way that we know we ought to do, the things we ought to do. Even in our heart, we won't do it with the proper motivation. But living by the Spirit is living in accord with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that is not something we do in ourselves. So that when you say living by the Spirit, you're not saying, okay, this is something I do in myself within in the strength of my own will and power to obey God's will and God's law. No, this is a Spirit-filled endeavor to follow the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to live by his will for the Christian in this world. And a part of that is remembering who we are, knowing our identity as Christians, as those who have been born again, right? I mean, Ephesians talks about this a lot. When I went through Ephesians, my eyes were opening up to new things in wonderful, glorious ways, especially the first chapter. There's the first chapter that the first half of it, right, that we normally focus on and predestination and things like that. But it's the second portion of that chapter that blows my mind sometimes when it speaks about the powerful work of the Spirit in the Christian. And Paul prays for that to be a part of the Christian life. He's praying for the Ephesian church and anyone else who's reading it, that this powerful work of the Spirit that he then later talks about raising Jesus Christ from the same Spirit at work in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. Mm-hmm. That is at work in us. And we don't think that's the case all the time.
Right. And Paul starts off this passage where he's saying, look, I'm telling you that how you are to live your life is by the Spirit. Live your life by the Spirit. And how do you do that? And in the next verse, he says, because you have been made free. Mm-hmm. God has freed you from being bound to sin and death. So before the Spirit comes, we have sin within us. We are dead according to because of our sins, and we aren't walking in any way by the Spirit. We are walking according to death. But now Paul's saying, look, you don't have to do that anymore. That doesn't have to be how you live your life, because you've been freed by the Spirit. And now that you've been freed by the Spirit, you need to live your life in accordance with the Spirit, which is, and we're going to talk about these things in the next few weeks, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, a sound mind, and we're not supposed to have fear. We're supposed to have peace. This is what we are given by the Holy Spirit. And so now, what is living your life? You get up in the morning. You read an email from something that happened overnight that distresses you. Here's your choices now. You can live by the Spirit, and you, not that this isn't important, not that it doesn't matter that you have to put it out of your mind, but you have to approach that situation and say, okay, I'm going to trust in my Lord and Savior Christ. I'm not going to give in to fear, because I don't need to give in to fear, because I have the Holy Spirit. God is in control. Mm-hmm. And this is not an easy thing. And this is not something that is a one-time thing. Okay, did that. You know, I checked that box. Now, I no longer will ever be afraid again. I no longer will ever worry again. No, this is sometimes a daily struggle. But Paul is saying, look, you can do this. This might be hard for you. This might be a struggle. This might be something you have to remind yourself of and struggle through 7 different times today. But you can mm-hmm. live like this because you have the Spirit.
Yeah, and no matter the concern or the worry that comes into our heart, we are a people loved by God, right? Mm-hmm. And all of the things going on in the world that distress us, which now we know so much more about what's going on in the world than we ever have before, if you have any access to internet.
Oh, right, right? Yeah.
And so things happening to our brothers and sisters are now known to us on the other side of the planet that distress us. That's good. We get to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And they get the prayers of the saints, but that also distresses us. It causes us angst. We get angry with the communist governments, right? We upset about these things.
Yeah.
Forgetting sometimes that our God is good. Mm. Forgetting that He loves those people. And sometimes lifting our fist against God because of all these distressing things. We get angry and upset. And we find it hard to rest in God because it makes us so frustrated, right? I mean, that's what I hear, right, as a pastor. It makes us so mad. And the only person to blame then is God. And how then do we transition from that attitude to resting? All right. That's the need of finding peace. That peace that God has already acquired for us through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we find that peace? We must attend to what He has given us, His word, worship, means of grace, His people, the comfort of the people, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, comfort ye my people, Jerusalem, right? That's God is the one who brings these things when we attend to Him in His ways, when we turn away from ourselves, the maddening worry and crisis-oriented nature of our lives, and turn to Him. I'm not talking about some sort of escapism here. We're still in the world. But this is not our home. Right. This is not the place of our eternal dwelling. We are not going to transform or change this place for the better without the gospel. We as Christians need to remember that we are pilgrims on this earth. Mm-hmm. Right, this goes back to identity, but another part of it, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much involved in who we are as believers in this life, but belonging to another life that can effectively transform our attitude toward the world around us, right? Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah, no, it makes sense, but I also hear people thinking or looking at you saying, okay, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right, biblically speaking. However, the crisis that I'm facing right now is keeping me from the means of grace, from the congregation of believers, because we're
quarantined. You're talking about like the virus and stuff.
Right,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
quarantined,
right? Yeah,
so we can't, I hear that. We can't do any of that right now. So you're right that these are the things that help us
absolutely.
In our lives. But we're being kept from those.
Mm-hmm.
So how, in a situation like this, do we get to the place where we have contentment in the Spirit, even though we're being kept from the main things that God has given us to keep us content in the spirit.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, the assembly of the saints is a priority, right? And so as soon as one can get back to it, you do it, right? Which is what we attempted to do as quickly as we could, even if small numbers or smaller numbers, I should say. Prior to that, though, being able to do that, you attend to your own scripture reading at home, if you have families with your families, if you don't have families with your immediate, those you do, you know, if you're single, if you have close friends, they can come together, right? Yeah, we're told to be away from each other, but there are ways of getting together under 10 people, right? Mm-hmm. You could do that, and you can continue to pray. So you still have word, and you still have prayer. Yes, we were taken away from the sacrament for longer than I've ever been taken away from the Lord's Supper, right? In my life,
me too.
Reformed Christian lifetime, I should say. Yep. But God has not left us, right? You see, so we attend to those things in a more vital way than maybe we ever have before, like family worship. So if you have a full on, you know, mom, dad, and kids, you attend to that. And you can include singing in that, right? And we're aiding in that family worship on Lord's Day by having a televised or internet-based ministry of word to help us, to aid in that. So if you think that's a means of grace and worship, that's helpful. If you think that's a family worship, right? We had differing opinions about what that internet worship was meant to be or could be called. Right. But if anything, it aided family worship, or it aided in the families worshiping together in the midst of a quarantine, right? And that brings, Lord willing, maybe our families grew stronger because of that forced time of being together, Lord willing, and aided in a way of worshiping together around a table in their living room. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it was more difficult because kids had a harder time sitting still or paying attention. Right. You know, I know that was a struggle with a lot of different people in different ways.
Okay.
But the point of any crisis for a Christian is to get you to God, not away from God. Right. And so if you're going in the wrong direction, away from God, then you're not responding to the crisis or the trial in a way that is God-honoring, okay? And so that's how we have to think about these things in the sort of a more general and a bigger picture kind of way. If it's drawing you away, then you need help, and you need to ask for help.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point at the end, the idea of asking for help. Because, you know, as leadership, we can try to take the temperature of those whom God has given us in the sense of how are they doing? We can ask, how are you doing? And people can check on other people. And that's good. We should do that. But if there's ever a time when you are, anyone is, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling you're away from the Lord, you're not having the motivation that you need to have to actually read your word and to pray, and it's becoming overwhelming to you. You need to reach out, because especially now, it's great. On Sunday mornings, we can, and when in a normal time, when we're all together, as leadership, we can come in and we can talk to people and we can see them and we can really, you know, because we care about them, and just especially for me, seeing somebody, I can read people very well, and so if I just say hi to somebody, I can usually tell kind of how they're doing. But if I'm not with them, phone calls are fine, emails are fine. It's better than nothing, but it's hard for me to read them. So I need people to reach out to me if they need help and say, look, I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, when they are fearful or depressed, the last thing they want to do is reach out. It's almost paralyzing. They just, especially, this happens a lot in depression where somebody they know they need help, but they don't have the energy. They don't even have, or the want to is just not there.
Yeah, the will goes away
to reach out, and that's of course the fundamental thing they need to do is reach out, and ask for help.
And to a certain extent, I mean, that's why the shepherds need to also be aware of who might be struggling with those things, and to make that reach out right. as well.
But we're not perfect.
No,
we might miss
not.
It. Of course. And that's
not.
Why
yeah.
Absolutely. If there's anybody that's saying, should I, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Mm-hmm. Should I call my pastor? Well, he's got a lot to no call.
Yeah.
Call.
Please call. yeah. I don't want to be above approach.
Right.
or beyond approach.
But it just helps us to remember who we are in Christ and that we have the Holy Spirit within us. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit has already changed our very nature from one of death and sin
yeah.
to one of life.
Yeah. That language at the beginning of Romans 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That means that you no longer live under the condemnation of the law. You live, in, as you were talking about earlier, about the freedom mm-hmm. of the law. That's a fundamental transition and change, right? In who you are, in your being, you've been changed. Your heart has been regenerated. I mean, we speak of new birth so flippantly these days. It is new birth. Mm-hmm. It is an absolutely new creation. I mean, that doesn't mean that your personality completely changes. Right. You know, you got right. you had blue eyes, you have brown eyes now, you know, which is you know, the color of Christian, brown eyes. So just so
I'm
you're aware. No, I mean, of course that's silly. That doesn't change. That's not what's being mentioned here, but your fundamental change happens inside a person. Mm. Their heart is changed. And that means you're going to look upon life and everything else differently, not perfectly differently, of course, but mm-hmm. you have a fundamental different understanding of these things because you now see with spectacles of God's word or through spectacles of God's word, as John Calvin talked about, the word of God as spectacles, like you put them on, you see clearly now. And because you look through them and you look upon the created order and you see God's handiwork now, you see his majesty and his beauty, his gentleness, his tenderness, his care as a father, his power as a king, his rule over all the world. Doesn't mean we don't get confused. Doesn't mean that we don't wonder and what's going on here, especially during those strange
right,
times.
We are going to struggle.
Yeah,
and that's actually
absolutely.
That's why we're even having this discussion is because
yeah, we do struggle.
We struggle. And the Holy Spirit within us is something that we know, we all know it, but we often forget, I think. And sometimes we look at the Holy Spirit. I think earlier we were talking and I threw out the Bruce Banner and Incredible Hulk motif where we think that we're two different people, where sometimes we are walking by the Spirit and sometimes we're not. So sometimes we have the Holy Spirit and sometimes we don't. That's how we feel, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, but of course, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit, through the new birth, indwells within us always. Mm-hmm. And we say what? Baptism, but John Stott has, I was just in a meeting at University Press, and we have a new signature series of Baptism Fullness of the Holy Spirit by John Stott,
okay.
which he does an excellent job at laying out the biblical text for being baptized by the Holy Spirit once in mm-hmm. regeneration, but filled by the Holy Spirit up and down, up and down, up and down. Sometimes we are filled with the Holy Spirit so that we feel the joy that God has given us. You can almost feel the contentment and joy that God has given you. You just love Christ and you love the brethren and you want to preach the gospel and you just feel this overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's other times you cry out, oh Lord, do not remove your Holy Spirit from me.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit has never left. But there are just, we are going to have our ups and downs in the Christian life. And this is why when we sin, the fact that the Holy Spirit does indwell us always, when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's why we grieve him, because he's always there. And so if we can remember that we have the Spirit because we are Christian, that's what Paul says that in the passage. Look, you have been regenerated, therefore you have the Spirit. Therefore, walk, live your life by the Holy Spirit. Don't think that you should be living your life as you did. Mm-hmm. Deadness, sin. Now you have life,
yeah.
Godliness. This is how you're to live your life. And that not only is this, I'm not saying this even as a command that go ye and do this. I'm saying rejoice, have peace, be thankful that the Holy Spirit is with you. That this should be encouraging to us.
And so speaking about all of these things and the concerns that they have for us, we've talked a lot about, you know, worry, there's fears involved, right? We're living in a world, at least, I mean, for us in this nation, right? Things are just really different for us now. I mean, it's not the worst it's ever been. It's not the worst it currently is compared to other countries.
Right.
But there's a lot of division, politically speaking, over the future of the nation and how we should respond. And that division has trickled down, I think, into the church in many ways. And so how does, you know, the things we've talked about, how does that interact with our lives today? And I think to a great sense, if when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, and if we are going to talk about living by the Holy Spirit, and if, as we've, you know, you've mentioned a couple times now, if the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, if that's what we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit, well, then we're to put off things like enmity and strife and jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, right? There's other things there regarding sexual orientations and sexual sins. But in this specific situation, as Christians, where there is this push in our world to come to a black and white decision over wearing masks or not wearing masks, over shutdown, not shutdown, over whether the where police are a good thing or police are a bad thing, over Marxism or no Marxism, over BLM or no BLM. Mm-hmm. There's such vitriol that the Spirit guides us to not be fitful in our anger, not to be jealous, not to be strifeful, or have there to be envy or enmity or dissensions, but we're to put on a sense of gentleness. We're meant to be measured and self-controlled in our responses to people, other people. We're meant to think the better of someone else first and not assume the worst about them. We're meant to be faithful in our jobs, faithful in our callings as moms or dads or husbands or wives, faithful as students, right? If you're a university student, do your university stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Don't go protest because, you know, you want to protest and not do your work. Do your work, right? Be a good student. be kind.
Right. I mean, if you want to protest, do it on your own time.
Well, I mean, it's certainly right to protest, right?
And you're also not saying that people, that there's going to be agreement.
No. I think we can be all of these things and still disagree.
Right.
Right. I think we can be a unified people and show forth a wonderful unity in the gospel of Jesus Christ and still have disagreements. Absolutely. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a unity in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. I am seeing a tension. And that if you're not with us, you're against us.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And that is what we don't want as a testimony of the world about us. That sense of the fruit of the Spirit in us of true love and true joy, a sense of peace and patience, kindness. Facebook, social media, Twitter, there's no, the fruit of the Spirit is not evident.
That's true.
The use of these things,
sometimes,
of course, it can be sometimes, but the overall arc of how these things are used is not to that end.
Yeah, I think that one thing that this whole situation we've been in the last few months has really kind of brought to the forefront is kind of this I'm going to take my toys and go home attitude with people, where if you don't agree with me completely, then I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to be a part. I don't want to be associated with this. If my church isn't going to mandate that every single person wear a mask every time we have an event, then I'm leaving. Or the opposite. If my church mandates that we have a mask, then I'm not going to go there. No, the gospel has to be greater than those kinds of mandates. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the degree that we may think that this virus has for bad to it's not that big of a deal to we should be very cautious. But whatever scale, part of the scale you're at, if we're going to let something that, whether or not we're going to wear a mask or whether we're, you know, or whether we're going to have 50 or we're going to social, you know, these things that we're putting into place, if not saying they're not important, mm-hmm. but if they take the place of the importance of the gospel in the community of believers, they've become too important. And for the sake of the gospel, we have to be willing to say, well, you know what? That's not exactly what I would want to do. I don't believe that we have to go to that extreme, or I think we should be at a greater extreme. If wherever you are on the scale, if you're going to say, I'm not going to be part of the community of believers that God has led me to, he's led us all to a congregation and he's given us all roles that we are to play in that congregation. What? Some are eyes, some are ears, some are, mm-hmm. right? We're all different parts of the body. And so we have to look to the gospel and say, for the sake of the gospel, I'm willing to put my particular want aside, and I'm going to adhere to the wisdom of the leadership and the wisdom of the body that God has called me to, and I'm going to keep praying that this changes, but I'm still, for the sake of the gospel, I'm going to desire that Christ is glorified above all things. And when I'm having a discussion with somebody about what I believe and what they believe, and if for some reason we disagree, Lord help us, mm-hmm. that we do so in a loving, Christ-honoring way, and that we don't walk away from that with animosity.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Of course, you can find us at reformforum.org. And while you're there at reformforum.org, check out the new tab. It's second one over, Academy. And look at the courses there. You have three free courses for you to take. Introduction to the Theology and Apologetics of Cornelius Van Til. Introduction to Covenant Theology in the Westminster Shorter Catechisms. As well, there's a paid-for one called Foundations of Covenant Theology. All excellent resources that are something that you should, well, in my opinion, you should check out. You can also, if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at mail@reformforum.org. I don't think I've said that in a while, so I wanted to put that before you again. That's mail@reformedforum.org. As well, you could review us at iTunes. Haven't done that in a while, and I've noticed. I think the last review, I think, was something like 2017 or something, maybe 18. It's been a while. Come on. I need to know what you think. Come on, let us know.
You can also email us and tell us. People do that a little more often.
Yeah.
No. We get that every week.
iTunes helps, though, right?
Yes. Please help Bob. And
please help.
Give us a good review on it.
And yeah, only five stars.
We used to say it. You know, we used to say it that when we started doing this, that we'd love a good iTunes review. Download it. You don't have to listen. Just a good review and download it.
Well, and also, if you want to find out more about the church that Rob and I serve, you can go to westminsteropc.org. For other churches in the Chicagoland area, you can go to chicagoreformed.org. Rob, what's up next time?
Next time, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit being love and what the Bible has to say about fear.
All right. Again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.